Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that we can come together. Thank you, Lord, that we can come to your word. Lord, we ask you that you quicken it. Lord, make it alive and powerful to empower and transform us, quickening us, giving us life to our mortal bodies, because this is what you promised in your word. We thank you and praise you in advance, Lord, and we are going to receive today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen? Amen. And amen. All right, we have been talking about the life of God. And really, I believe that if we grasp the implications, we have the understanding of what that means for us, all the limits will be removed from our experience. Because we are the one limiting the Holy One of Israel. All things are possible through His power and His life when He's in us. And we have to realize and understand the way the old things happen. See, the life of God is actually something tangible. It's some people call it, you know, spiritual materiality, something that you can actually feel. And we should actually be able to sense it. We can get used to that and not feel it anymore. But, feel it when we pay attention to it. But it's there if we are born again and we are walking with God and we are in Christ. It's there all the time inside us, available to manifest itself through all the impact that it's going to have on us, on all the different areas of our life. You know, when we understand that and we start to really realizing and experiencing it, it makes all the difference. See, there is a doctrine of the laying on of hands in Christianity. It's one of the basic doctrine in Hebrew that talks about it. Okay, and that's actually reason why one lay hands on hand is because it is this transfer of life that is taking place through our hands to the people that have that life inside them. Okay. And in fact, you know, many people sometimes feel, you know, when they pray for people, you know, and that happens most of the time if you're just conscious of it, you feel a flow of energy, life, like electricity. See, the life of God is power. It's the same thing, power. It's like same thing about electricity. And when you are not used to that, you know, you actually feel like electricity going through your body. Then you get used to it because, you know, your body gets used to things. Okay. And so it doesn't affect you as much. But, you know, especially at the beginning when you start experiencing that, you actually shake. Like, you know, you are connected to a plug there. And you're just going around like that. Okay. And it's normal. It's not that it's a problem with you. It's just that the body can just hardly hold it. Now, we have to understand the way the whole thing started. See, when if we go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, see, the whole thing started there. It says, and then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the bird of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over all every creeping things that creeps on the earth. So he just, you know, he made us in his image. Okay? That means, you know, there is, says there too, in image and in likeness of us. So there is more than just a similarity. Okay? We are, you know, composed of three parts, just the same way as God is. And there is a lot of parallel between the way we operate and the way God operates, and that's the intention he has to us to be like him so that we can be his representative. He wants us to do the things that he assigned us to do as his representative. And we cannot do those things in the flesh, in the way, you know, that just physically. All the parts that are within ourselves that to be involved in that. That means spirit, soul, and body. Now, you know, and the objective is that for us to have dominion over everything in the earth. Okay, that was his intention, that was his plan. Well, man messed it up. He says, you know, continue, verse 27. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. So does it make any difference? You still are, no matter what male or female, you are still in the image of God. So evidently it's not the male or female part that makes you different. Okay. Now, that's for the time anyway. Okay, the point is, he made us such way. And then, when he's done that, what he did, he blessed us. Okay, it says, you know, so verse 28, Genesis 1, 28, then God blessed them, and God said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea and every fish, everything that is around here. So he blessed them. And when he blessed them, what he did is essentially he provided them the things that they needed. He said, he just give to men everything that men needed to do the job, to subdue the earth. Okay? That means wasn't subdued yet. Because otherwise he said, go and subdue it. So there was a job to do. Okay? So, but he equipped. See, when God assigns you a job, he equips you for the job. He's not just doing something to do and then says, go and do it right away, you know, work it out. No, he provided everything that we needed to do the job. Okay. And the way he did it, okay, is explained later on, okay, in chapter 2, verse 27, says, and the Lord God formed man from the dust. And this is described again the way it started so that we can understand it, you know, from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And that's where the business started. That's what provided the needs that were there. That's what the breath of life that actually breathed his own breath inside us. That is the life of God transferred to us by God breathing and giving us the ability within ourselves to operate the way he operated. I'm going to explain this more later on. Just give me a moment. Okay. So the idea, you know, a man became a living being. See, up to that moment, he was just a piece of dust, piece of soil. Nothing special, wasn't even moving, wasn't doing anything. Until he breathed in him his own spirit. And at that particular moment, he started moving around and started doing things. Because he wasn't just a physical thing, he was the things that give him life was the life of God that was breathed inside him by God himself. So God gave his own spirit to man to operate and to give him life and to function the way he functioned because, they said before, he was made in the same image, in the same likeness of God. So the idea was he had to operate the way God operated. That was the way was planned. But that didn't happen because Adam messed it up. Okay? then goes on explaining in the following verse, really the way the whole thing had to start functioning. And says, the Lord God planted, doesn't say Adam, the Lord God planted. Can you see God going and digging things and planting things? God is a spirit. He didn't plant anything physically. He planted it. Says, be there. Okay? Now, God planted the garden eastward of Eden. And there they put the man whom he had formed. So the idea, he put man in this garden, which was not the whole earth, was a section of the earth. That was the prototype that God wanted him to implement all over the place. That's why go and take dominion of everything, because you had to spread what I planted here everywhere else. The whole world wasn't the way God wanted it. But the garden was, because that was a special place that God put him there to see and to what he did and to repeat it and to multiply and to magnify. His multiplication is not just to have babies. It's to do the same thing that he had done before and established all over the earth. Established the control over all the animals. Wasn't there already everywhere. Otherwise, there was there, what was there to control? What was there to take dominion on? And actually, the word there, you know, take dominion and so on, is even more than that, you know, subdue. But actually, the word there is, you know, like stamp on and take possession, rule, control it. It's a military almost word. Okay, you just take charge and put everything in order everywhere. And he had equipped him to do that because he made him like he was himself and was enabled to do the same thing that God did on to operate on the earth and given him the power and the authority to do it. Because that's what he delegated right there. Take dominion, take charge. Exercise the authority that I put in you so that you can establish the order I want everywhere. Are you following me? And the way it was going to happen was not because he was going to work and sweat and go around planting trees and doing things. It wasn't. He was doing it the same way as God did it in the Garden of Eden. And it was probably necessary to be many more than just himself, so you made able to also reproduce. But that was the multiplication. The multiplication was the multiplication of the implementing of what God had done in the garden. Now, then Adam, actually Eve and Adam along with her, you know, just got off a tangent. They have been required to function the way God functions. That means that to depend on his spirit, the power of that life that was put inside to be operating and producing results. And what took place when Eve was tempted, instead of going and asking herself, connecting with her spirit, that was the way they had to function, she instead connected with her senses. Looked at the tree, listened to the enemies, talked, you know, and so he said, so that looks good. And then maybe, you know, give you, and just took the lie that the enemy had given her. Because instead of listening to the way he should have been able, she and him should be able to do, you know, just dependent on her senses and said, this is looks good, you know, it made this good, and maybe, you know, it's a good thing to have, and something that I can have, you know, maybe become like God. They were already like God. They were made in his image. But they forgot it because they weren't so completely understanding what was going on yet. Okay. And so what happened is that they delegated, essentially submitted themselves to the life of the enemy, and they got in trouble. Instead of finding out the truth, they found out that they missed it, and they disobeyed God, and they were subjected to the law of God that produced the curse on them. And so that's what happened. They, after the call, the law fall, you know, Adam lost his power. It was coming from the life of God inside him, and much of that life of God that was there in the spiritual dimension, he lost contact with. And then Adam, and to Adam God said, Genesis chapter 3, verse 17, because you have heeded to the voice of his wife, and you have eaten of the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground, not just him, the ground that he was, you know, yet to submit and to organize properly. Okay, for your sake, you in toil, you shall eat of it in the old days of your life. So you see, up to that moment, he did nothing. He didn't need to do anything. From that moment on, he had to work and sweat to be able to get anywhere. Okay. Now, that's the way the world continued until Jesus came. Because they lost the contact with that power inside themselves. The power inside themselves wasn't there anymore. There was just the left over of that. There was just operating in the physical, was not be able, they weren't able to connect and to go, you know, and to connect it with God, connected with their spirit, was connected with God, in which the power was coming from. Are you following me? See, that life is makes all the difference. And what Jesus came for is to reestablish that connection and reestablish that life the way it was before. He didn't come just to follow us so we go to heaven. He came for us to change and to become the way we were before. However, okay, we need to understand, learn, and operate on that level. That means, you know, there is, you know, our soul and our heart is the place in which the contact takes place that generally blocks off the power of God because of what the judgment, the ideas, the thoughts, the concept, that they are at that level that don't understand what we got. We need to understand. We need to have knowledge of Christ, knowledge of him, to be able to experience all things that he has provided for us. Through the knowledge of him. That's what it says in 2 Peter chapter 1. So to be able, you know, then you can appropriate, you have to know what is yours, and you have to know those things that are through the, you know, great and precious promises that are in the Bible that we can see so that we can fill in the gaps of our understanding and we can expand our experience. We can only experience what we know that we can have. If we don't know that you can get healed, the only things that you get healed by is the natural way your body reacts. That was wonderfully made, so but there's already a lot there. But there is much more that is inside us to bring about healing. There is much more to bring about the power of God operating in us to bring just about that. And so we have to understand that. Okay. That goes on, you know, both thorn and thistle it shall bring forth to you, and you shall eat the herbs of the field. So the idea is that, you know, as a result of his submission to self to the enemy, believing the enemy instead of believing God. You see, it has to do always with faith. Believing has to do with faith, trusting in God. Okay. By believing the enemy, he submitted himself to the enemy instead of submitting himself to God, and automatically was cut off from all the power. Okay. And then verse 19, they say, continue, say, explaining these things, you, in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, and from dust you are, and dust you will return. So that's the way the world is if they have not benefited from what Jesus did. Okay? Jesus came to restore our initial state, our initial position, and is going to be fulfilled completely by the time he comes back the second time. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, says exactly this change that he came to establish for us, that we had to receive by faith. It's not automatic. And this change, the greatest change is he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God in him. That means there is no separation between us and God. There is nothing hindering God's power to work in us, to be his spirit, to be operating in us and manifesting himself through everything that God has through us. He came to establish communion between us and Jesus, between us and the Father, between us and the Holy Spirit, so that both, you know, the effect and the work of all the three persons of the Trinity may be manifested in our life. Are you following me? You see, the manifested, the righteousness of God is the question that we, there is no separation anymore between us and God. That is, we are together one spirit. That means, you know, his power, his anointing, his ability can be operating through us because we are his representative. Not that we go around doing our own thing, is that we depend on him, we are submitted to him, we are allowing him to work in us, and because we line up ourselves in the way we think, the way we are going to be acting, the way the power of God is going to be working in us, is going to be manifested supernaturally with the same supernatural power that God has, the way Jesus operated. This is the way Jesus functions. He came as a man because he couldn't redeem us as God. It wasn't fair. He had to be a man. He was called the second Adam because he was given the same ability that Adam had at the beginning, but was just a man like Adam. And because he was one of us and operated the way we function, according to Philippians chapter 2, you know, then we can see that we can do the same thing, and we should move into that until we become like him. And all that happens according to the life in God that comes back in us, and we stop limiting God in the way he functions in us because we start thinking the way he does. See, it's not going to happen until we think the same way as God thinks. We are supposed to have received the mind of Christ. See, it's the knowledge of him that we had to acquire. We had to understand. It's there. It's available. It's already inside our spirit. But the thing is, our mind doesn't get it because it's brainwashed or educated in the world. You know, sometimes education becomes a real problem because we are educated to think in a certain way instead of really thinking the way God thinks. And we are putting limits on God because we follow our own rules instead of following his spiritual rules that are superseding the physical rules. And you can see that any time that the miracles take place is because some of the physical, you know, what is a miracle? It's when the physical rules break down and something supernatural, something above, something bigger than the physical law allow, you know, taking place. Okay? That is when a miracle takes place. And so, you know, God can do that. Why? Because he's supernatural. He is in the spiritual dimension. And really, you know, when we, well, the way you want to call it supernatural, in the spiritual dimension, God is a spirit. And so he can operate on the spirit, according to spiritual laws, not just limited to the physical laws. Are you following me? Okay. And so we have to understand that if to get the same result, we have to learn to do exactly the same thing. The same thing, what I mean is that we have to think the way he thinks. That we have allow him, okay, to allow ourselves to operate like he did. Okay. And this is where it becomes so important for us to learn from the source, which is the Word, the way God thinks, the way Jesus operated, and to learn to do the same thing because we think the same way. Because Jesus said, you have seen me, you have seen who? The Father. So Jesus thought the way the Father thought. Or thinks all the time. Okay? And so if we saw him that way, and he did it so that for us to see he was operating like we operate, when we operate the way we should operate, we should be saying the same thing. And that's why miracles are going to happen, because it's the natural thing for God to do. And so he just functioned through us, because we are not anymore a hindrance. We are his representative. We are the one that spread the truth, that spread the good news. And the good news is your sins are forgiven, accept what Jesus has done, trust in God and follow him, get his ideas, and you're going to see the thing manifested in your life. Hello? Amen. All right. So we can see in many scriptures, and this is not a concept, this is in one place in the Bible, this is all over the place, repeated over and over again. Especially more clearly in the New Testament. Because in the Old Testament, they didn't quite understand many of these things. Okay. But say, for example, in Romans chapter 8, talks clearly about this in detail and shows us how to switch on the supernatural. Because that's the thing has to happen. Okay, God works according to laws. Okay, according to principles, according to things, a certain way. And there are some laws that function, you know, according to certain situations. Like, for example, the physical law, the law of gravity. Okay, function everywhere. If you are, no matter what you are on the earth, you just walk off a roof, and the same results you are going to get. But if you, instead of being on Earth, you go in outer space, in which there is no more gravity, the law of gravity in operating, and you can be there and walking on outside a spaceship, moving fast in this, you know, thousands of miles an hour and so on, and you don't even feel anything, and you just can walk on it like nothing. And if you just jump out of it, you just stay there. according to the motion that you were going on before, because that's another thing, you know. Things, you know, inertia is operating as another law that you go according to a certain inertia, you continue to move unless there is something that stops you. Those are physical laws. There are spiritual laws according to which God works that supersede physical law. They're much better. I mean, it's evidently that Jesus walked on water. He was breaking the law of gravity. It's not that he was floating because he was, you know, paddling and swimming. He was standing in the water, walking over it. Okay, he would be from there, say, you know, the wind was blowing, the testing was going on, the tempest was going on. He says, stop, peace. And the whole thing stopped. So evidently he was doing something that was supernatural, was beyond the physical laws, because the physical law, you know, would have said, you know, the wind blowing and it's going to keep blowing. And so he's going to continue the same thing that happened up to that moment. So the physical law are not the same thing, are weaker than the spiritual law. Okay. Healing that happens instantaneously and things disappear on the spot, you know, evidently do not respond to physical laws, because sometimes things disappear, sometimes, you know, arms or legs or fingers appear again, they weren't there. Okay, so you have to see the law according to which you can operate. And if the life of God is inside you, if that means the power of God is inside you, then you can still be able to start operating in the spiritual dimension, because that is where this life of God is. It's not in the physical dimension, it's in the spiritual dimension. That's why people cannot have it unless they are born again. Are you following me? See, these are big implications for us in what we can expect. And you have to be a big implication in terms of what we should do to be able to operate that way. Okay. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 starts saying, okay, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Okay, number one, no condemnation. Well, we said before with the great transfer, what took place? The one who knew no sin became sin for us, so that we become the righteousness of God in him. So if you had the righteousness of God, there can't be any condemnation in you. But you have to be, you know, but you have to be in Christ Jesus to be able to have that benefit. If you go around doing all the things that do not align up with the way Jesus thought, then you are not going to experience that. You are going to be condemned, and you should be condemned. Amen. Because there is no relationship with God. You see, there is no condemnation, because it means, you know, if you have no condemnation, God is connected with you. Are you still with me? So you and God have in communion. That one means to be in Christ Jesus. You are in communion with Christ. You are in communion with the Father. You are in communion with the Holy Spirit. Okay, so we need, you know, there is no condemnation who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So the idea is we have to walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh, which means practically, you know, what does it really practically mean? If we walk, we always walk the flesh in some way, isn't it? But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking our behavior, you know, is determined by, not by the physical, by the spiritual things, by the spiritual dimension, by your spirit, not by the things that are influenced or controlled or affected by the flesh, which are what? Our senses, which are our emotions, our feelings, our attitude. Okay? All these things cannot control us if you want to walk in the Spirit, because otherwise your flesh is taking over. Your feelings, your emotions are the things that really, your senses, I mean, you cannot go. If you want to get healed, applying it physically in a simple way, you cannot go by what you see through your senses. Because if you go by what you feel, see your senses, you are never going to be healed. You have to get to the place in which your senses says, oh yeah, that's in my physical body, but that's not by the things I go by. I go by what I know inside, what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, and by stripes I was healed. And so in the Spirit, I'm healed already, and it's going to be manifested today because I believe it. And not just because I believe it, because that's the power that I'm connecting, because he is inside me, and because he's inside me, he's going to bring it to pass. And it's not me, it's his power that is greater, it's supernatural. Are you following that? And continue here, because it's, this is really gets even more interesting. Okay, so first of all, we should not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That is the way in which we are going to be connected to God. Okay, there cannot be union between us and the Father, union between us and Jesus, or you know, union at all in the spiritual dimension if we are walking in the flesh. If we are walking according to the way we feel, according to the way our eyes see, our senses, and according to any of the things, our own thinking and our own attitude. Okay, you cannot get anywhere. Okay, so continue the following verse, says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. Okay, there are two laws here. And these are two spiritual laws. Okay, this law, the law of sin and death is nothing else than the curse that was pronounced. It was already there before it was pronounced, because God has said it. If you do that, you are going to die. So the curse was there, was the law was established before. And the law of sin and death, you sin, you die. I mean, the sin, you know, really meant that you are going to be separated. You are not going to be anymore in communion with the power of God, in communion with the life of God, and you are going to be powerless spiritually. Are you following me? That's law number one. The law number two is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That this is nothing else than the law that was manifested with the great transfer, with the great exchange. One who was without sin became sin for us so that we become the righteousness of God in him. And as a result of that, the power of God, the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of God, we are in communion with now. And we are in communion with God because of what he did. That's the law of Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That means we have to be in Christ Jesus to be able to manifest the law. It's the same thing, you know, if you are here on this roof, okay, you are in the gravity field of the earth, you jump out, you break your neck. You do the same thing where there is no gravity, nothing happens. So, spiritually, if you are in the place in which you are in Christ Jesus, that means, you know, you think that you have accepted and connected what Jesus did, then you are going to have the result that is in that particular space. See, being in Christ Jesus is a position you had to take, a position you had to have, a decision you had to make, you know, has to do with you trusting God, trusting what Jesus has done. That's where all the power and the energy and the victory and the ability that are supernatural come from. It's not you trying to really earn to get healed. He's not trying really to do things so that things are going to work out. No, it's that you make that decision, and it's a decision that has not doubt at all inside yourself that Jesus did everything that needs to be done. It is done, it is finished, it is mine, and I'm staying there, and I believe it. Are you following me? See, that's where the faith comes from. It's not faith in getting what you want. It's faith in doing what, lining up with yourself with him. And so that established the no condemnation part, and you are walking according to the Spirit. Okay. So this is important. This is what produces in us what? Because there is no separation. You have the righteousness of God. You are in communion with God. The Spirit of God is inside you. If you are in communion, it's there. If it's the life of God is inside you, then the power of God is inside you. That power I was talking about at the beginning when I said, it's something, actually a materiality in the Spirit is like electricity in the physical. It's power. Is life. Life is power. And that manifests itself, even in the physical, because it's the natural thing that should take place. Because it's bigger than the physical, more powerful than the physical. So, this is why many places in the Bible, and I just quote scripture over scripture, but for example, in 3 John 2 says very clearly, okay, and I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, even as you, or just as your soul prosper. You see, when your soul is prospering, when you are connected with what Jesus has done, then your soul are prospering, and then it is also that you may prosper in all things and be in health, because that's the physical manifestation of the fact that your soul is prospering. Are you following me? That promise just falls into that category on that place. You are in the right place to receive, because you are located, your position is in Christ Jesus, because you have received the truth, because you believe in what he has done, because you follow under his umbrella and under the covenant that he established with God. Are you still with me? Okay. Well, this has enormous implication. Let's go back to Romans chapter 8. I read the first 2 verses. I'm going to read the third one. Okay. It says, for the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. You see, the law in the past, the Old Testament law, could not do anything because it was based on physical things. Don't kill, don't do this, don't do the other things. There are all things that are, applied to the physical things. And so you have to look at the physical. It is not the issue. The issue is not the physical. The problem, the evil, the problem, evil and everything else happen in the spiritual dimension is the decision to disobey God. So you cannot look at the physical. And so trying to do physical things to gain God's approval is not the way. This is dead works. That works means that you are trying to earn what you cannot earn. The only way to earn it is to trust what Jesus did. And then you are going to do that naturally and without any effort. Because God's power is in you, because you are lined up with his thinking. You are lined up with his life. You are lined up with his power. It's not work. That's why the law could not save anybody in the Old Testament. It was by faith. Even then they understood it, but, they were still operating by the law. Jesus came to explain and clarify all that. Okay? So the law could not do in that it was through the flesh. God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, on account of sin, to deal with sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. So you see, yet to die, paid for the thing, everything was paid for, everything was finished, and so you can be set free. So this is thing. Okay. The original sin was because they depended on the flesh reaction, on the senses to choose to disobey God instead of going to their spirit and see, you know, what should I do? Connect with God and find a solution. Verse 4, Romans 4:8-4. That the righteousness of God, the righteousness requirements of the law may be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So the only way to be able to succeed and fulfill this requirement of the law was not to look at the physical thing, but to look at the spiritual things. There is no answer by a solution for us if you're trying to do things physically to get fixed. We had to do it spiritually. And in a second, we are going to expand on that. Now, according to the things of the Spirit. So, you know, how do we walk according to the Spirit to have life? See, we had to switch from the physical dimension to the spiritual dimension. It's like I compare the life of God to electricity. And that is a parallel that helps us very well. Okay. The power of God works like electricity working through us, producing the result it needs to produce. But, you know, if you have this light here, okay, I come here in the room and I want the light to go on. What do I have to do? Turn some switches on so that the whole electricity can go through. The electricity was there in the cables all the time. Same thing with believers. Once they accepted Jesus, you know, they have the life of God inside, but they don't know what to do because they don't know how to switch on the power. Okay? They are used to switch on the power the way they do it generally for everything that they do before, which is actually to do something in the physical. That's not the way. You have to do something in the spirit. And the word very clearly says what to do. Okay. For those who live according to the flesh, set their mind. You see, set their mind. Their mind is the switch. And what we had to set the switch for the electricity, we had to set the switch of our mind so that we connect in the right dimension. See, our mind is between our spirit and our, you know, actually is the heart. It's not really mind there. The full translation is phroneo, which actually is attitude. So, you know, we had to switch our attitude from the way that we do. I'm going to look at the physical thing. I'm going to look at the fruit that looks good to eat and everything else. No, forget it. Just, I'm not going to look at that way. I'm looking this other way. I'm looking at the spiritual dimension and I'm standing on that spiritual dimension and my position is that. So when I take that decision, I make that decision, I switch from operating in the flesh to operating in the spirit. Are you following me? I mean, that should make it very clear. Okay? This is not anything hocus pocus or anything difficult. You know, it's very simple. You know, our attitude, our position should be that we take the position spiritually and we are going to operate and we are not going to look at our senses. We are not going to look at our physical body. We are not going to look at what we have done before. We are not going to look at our emotions. We are not going to look at what we want. We are going to look what God says. Because we look at the spiritual thing. We look, you know, so let me go back here and read again. For those who live according to the flesh, set their minds or their attitude or their position or their affection on the things of the flesh. I don't think even affection is a good idea, although it's many times it's translated that way. It actually has to do with judgment. Anyway, as I explained many times, so their attitude on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, to the things of the Spirit. What are the things of the Spirit? God's Word. You can't look at anything else but God's Word. Because God's Word is the information for you that you have about the things of the Spirit. Because He reveals to you His thoughts. And so those are the explanation of the spiritual dimension. Are you following me? Am I losing you or complicated? Or is simple enough? Good. Now, so let me continue here. So we set our mind, okay, on the things of the Spirit, okay? That means, you know, what's going to do? What's not going to happen naturally when that takes place? Naturally. No effort. That's the result of you being in communion. What is the result of you being in communion with God? One simple thing, that the fruit of the Spirit are going to be manifested in you. Because these are the natural result of the tree inside you, which is the Spirit of God. And the fruit of the Spirit is nothing else than the result of that taking place. So what's going to happen there? Well, what are you going to have? Love, joy, peace, patience, faithfulness, hope, goodness, gentleness, self-control. You have all of those things starting to manifest inside you. Are you following what I'm saying? So now it's so important for us to understand that this is going to be the manifestation in you instead of the work of the flesh, which are all the list of all the messes that you generally do. You get ourselves in problem, fear, all the other things that are contrary to what God wants us to do. Are you still with me? You understand what I'm saying? We want the fruit of the Spirit to be manifested and not the fruit, the works of the flesh. If you are looking, setting your mind on the things of the flesh, you're going to produce the works of the flesh. If you set your mind on spiritual things, on the Word, you're going to produce the fruit of the Spirit. Naturally. Faith is one of them. So it's going to be manifest in faith. God's power is going to be in you and it's going to be activated by you setting your mind, setting your attitude in the right thing. Looking at the wrong thing produces wrong results. You, what you look at, you give power. You look at the flesh, you look at your senses, you look at your body, you look at the, you know, everything. You're going to fail. You're going to produce fleshy things. Okay? So this is the final result that you're going to get. Okay? It's in Romans chapter 8, verse 6. It says, for the carnally minded, to be carnally minded is death. I mean, the same way as is the law of spirit and death, or the spirit, you know, is... we have to understand that that's producing the same curse that produced in Adam. Is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So one of the things that is saying here, you know, the life, we said, is all this power, energy, electricity, you know, ability to do things that you cannot actually do. Supernatural power and peace, because if you know that and you have that, nothing moves you anymore. You are, you know, prospering in Guinelles even as your soul prospers, because your soul is prospering. Okay? Because you are connected. You have connected with God. You have full of health, full of power, full of ability, full. You know, just you get all that by setting your attitude. That's your switch. It's not that people say, you know, I remember Kenny Dignam saying, you know, turn the switch of faith on. I don't think it's the right thing to say. You cannot turn your feet. You have to set your mind on spiritual things. That's the right setting, you know, to make the connection with God. When you are connected with God, then the other one is going to be there. Faith is going to be there. The switch is not that you have the option to turn faith on and off. Okay, you may want badly to believe something for God. But the thing is, believe God, that is going to be there as when you're lining up. Because the power of God is going to be in you to perform it. Okay, so there are spiritual results in setting your mind. Okay. One of the things that, you know, setting your mind, I've said before, but you are, you know, says, you know, to be carnally minded is death, and to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Okay, because the carnal mind is enemy against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So that separates you from that immediately. But, okay, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But if you are not in the flesh, but you are in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of Christ or the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, anyone who does not have the spirit of Christ, he is not his. So the idea, you know, it goes back to the place, you know, you had to be set up properly so that your spirit of God is inside you. When the spirit of God is inside you, you have everything that you need. It says, and then the conclusion is, you know, Romans 8:10. The people quote that all the time without putting in the right context. Okay. And if Christ is in you, that means, you know, if you have set your mind on spiritual thing, okay? The body is dead because of sin. Okay, what do you mean the body is dead because of sin? Well, the God is dead because you crucified the flesh, because you took that position already. So it's dealt with. Doesn't mean he's not alive anymore, the body. He's not controlling you. That's what it means. He's not controlling you because you took charge of it, because you made that decision. You set your mind on spiritual thing. Okay? So the setting has been established. Okay? Where am I? Okay. So because it's life because of sin. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. See, that's what I was saying before. 2 Corinthians 5:21. You know, you are the righteousness of God in him. Because you have the righteousness of God, you are going to be righteous. Your behavior is going to be righteous. Your connection with God is going to be free, and is going to be able to move back and forth. There is a complete union there. Okay, so because of righteousness, okay, then you have life in you, the power of God operating in you, manifesting itself, supernatural results. Hallelujah. Okay. And then doesn't stop there. It's just not supernatural, spiritual result. The following verse, Romans 8:11, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies, to his spirit who dwells in you. That means, don't make that spiritual. He's talking about your mortal body. So your mortal body is going to be healed because the life of God, the power of God is inside you because it's operating in you. It's naturally dwelling in you. And so because dwells in you and there are no hindrances, you are not setting your mind on what you see. You're not setting your mind on what you think. You're not setting on why what the doctor said. You're not setting your mind the way you feel. You're setting your mind what the word says. And that's what you keep looking at without stopping to look at it. You know, when the snake were biting Israel, you know, and Moses was told to put a snake on a pole. They had to look at that. That didn't say that they were instantaneously healed. They had to keep looking at that instead of looking at themselves. It doesn't explain that, but that is corresponding to what we have to do today. Are you following me? Now, you see, I think we covered enough for today. You got enough to chew on for a whole week, maybe for a whole month. Okay? But you had to, you see, that chewing on and actually making a decision to apply, setting your mind looking at those things instead of looking at other things. When your body calls attention, you refuse to look at it. I mean, yeah, if needs to do, you know, do whatever needs to be done, but don't focus on it. Because that's not the answer. It's going to keep you bound to that. If you want to go beyond that, you have to start looking at the word, keep looking at the word. Whatever it is that you need is going to come. Praise the Lord. Amen. We should close for today. Do you get anything today? You can apply that. Can you? All right. Let's pray together. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word that gives us hope, that gives us faith, that gives us the ability to connect with you and to become righteous before you, not with our own righteousness, but with the righteousness that Jesus made possible for us to receive. Thank you that we can walk in the Spirit and not walk in the flesh, that we can receive strength, that we can receive peace, and we can receive life. And that life is the light of man. And that light, Lord, is going to guide us in the victory, in the path of victory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. God bless you.